Welcome to McGuire on Wrestling.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Let's give the people what they want. Professional wrestling.
With Mike McGuire.
The happiest Canadian camper in the world.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hey there, welcome to the post-WrestleMania edition of McGuire on Wrestling. Hope it's been a great week for you. Hope it's been a good weekend as well. Myself, I spent some extra little time on the road, so I was away from some Wi-Fi and away from everything. Very rarely does that happen, so that's why today is technically a double post day. Earlier on this morning, you got the latest episode of the Alternate Commentary Table with Mitch and Dimitri, and now, like we do every Sunday, you and I hanging out to talk a little bit of pro wrestling. And yeah, some things shook out of WrestleMania. I think a lot of them have already been covered, but there are some things we can still delve into, and also some big news behind the scenes in pro wrestling. If it's your first time here, thank you for checking out the show. Really appreciate you being here. We live by a simple mantra here, and that is that we love celebrating pro wrestling. And frankly, there's been a few things that make it a little harder to do that these days, and to my surprise, and I mean this to my surprise, some of that negativity actually seeped its way into the Team MOW McGuire on Wrestling Facebook page. And I'll be completely honest, I am calling it out for what it is right now. Ain't none of us married to these people. Ain't none of us making money off these people. And nothing that happens in pro wrestling affects your life that much that you need to use it as a ground to pick a fight with somebody else out there. So we don't do that here. And we're not going to do that here. What we are going to do is talk about some of the cool stuff that happens out there. We're going to talk to cool people in wrestling, cool people who study wrestling, who have been involved around the business for decades. And we do that every week for you, absolutely free, here on the podcast feed. You can find it also at McGuireShow.com. If you want to support what we do, we got a little t-shirt store there. I think we make like 72 cents a shirt. That's not even a joke. I think that's the actual margin. I'm not 100% sure, but it's pretty close to that. We've got some great insight for you this week from a guy who's been TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Had a chance to chat with Steve Macklin recently. We were at a Dungeon Wrestling show up in Calgary, and we talked a little bit about that. And then we talked a lot about not pro wrestling, which I love doing even more. We can talk about wrestling here and there, but when you get to talk to a wrestler about other things in their life, I find that equally, if not even more fascinating sometimes. So stick around for that. Dave Meltzer's here as well. If you'd like to get in touch with me or anybody else on the show, real easy to find us. Again, that Team MOW McGuire on Wrestling Facebook page is there for you. We've got the podcast feed here, McGuireShow.com. Or if you want to find me directly, at McGuireShow on basically every social media, or you can email me directly, McGuireShow@yahoo.com. Coming up this week, AEW airs the all-in backstage footage. Was it really worth it? Vince McMahon will no longer own any part of WWE. At this point, are we surprised? AEW and New Japan strengthen their relationship with a new champion. A former WWE champion speaks out about whether or not he'll be returning to the ring. UFC 300 delivered some great fights last night, and a massive announcement. Former TNA World Champion Steve Macklin will be here, and Dave Meltzer is also standing by as he and I go through some of your thoughts this week. That's all on the way, but first, let's take a look at some of the biggest news stories of the week. It's the Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
This past week, it was announced that Vince McMahon will be posting the final of his shares in TKO, the new parent company for WWE, and thus will no longer have any part of WWE from a business standpoint or any other involvement with the company. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about Vince as his pending lawsuit waits in the wings from a former WWE employee. McMahon has been selling shares in bundles since the lawsuit came up. WWE has seemingly been on a bit of a mission to distance themselves from McMahon. All in all, this seems to be the absolute last step in Vince McMahon's ties to WWE and TKO. Well, despite never formally announcing that they would be airing footage of CM Punk, the now WWE superstar has once again brought big ratings for AEW. This past Wednesday, you may have seen the footage while the Young Bucks were announcing they would be showing backstage footage from All In. They never did specify what it would be until the promo before the video. Several websites and reporters, including Dave Meltzer, who joins us here in just a few minutes, said that it was in fact going to be a security camera footage involving CM Punk and Jack Perry from All In Wembley 8 months ago. Well, word got out, and Dynamite did get a boost in the ratings, but many fans are left wondering why it had to happen now to begin with, especially so long after the fact. We're going to talk a lot more about this coming up, so just hang on. UFC 300 was last night in Las Vegas, and while the show had a lot of great matches, the biggest story was the announcement of the return of Conor McGregor. You might remember Conor broke his leg in that brutal fight a couple years ago and hasn't been seen in an octagon since. However, he was recently in the new Roadhouse movie with Jake Gyllenhaal on Prime. Conor's return will be at UFC 303 on June 29th in Las Vegas, part of International Fight Week. Jon Moxley will be returning to AEW Dynamite, fresh off becoming the new IWGP Heavyweight Champion this past week. It was on Friday at the Windy City Riot in Chicago. The show was headlined by Tetsuya Naito defending the IWGP Championship against Mox. After a bloody battle, Mox won his first IWGP World title. AEW announced that he'll be bringing the belt with him this Wednesday to the flagship show. And since his appearance at the WWE Hall of Fame, many are expecting Taylor Rotunda or Bo Dallas to show up as Uncle Howdy once again, the character that was tied to his late brother Bray Wyatt. What makes this more interesting is the recent cancellations of Eric Rowan from some independent dates. Out in Nova Scotia, East Coast Pro Wrestling announced that Rowan had to back out of an upcoming date with them due to, quote, new contractual obligations. Subbing for Rowan on that show will now be the Brian Kendrick. Also notably absent from WWE TV for some time has been Braun Strowman, who naturally also has ties to Bray Wyatt and family. What makes it even more interesting is that several teasers have been showing up in arenas and even on WWE TV since the airing of that Bray Wyatt documentary before WrestleMania weekend. And a bit of a bonus story here, as Big E recently revealed on X that he is now 100% pain-free, but still isn't sure if he will ever be medically cleared to wrestle. He says that he's still feeling fine and is happy with whatever life brings him moving forward. Still to come on the show, we're going to have a great chat with TNA's Steve Macklin on the way. Plus, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer is standing by. But first, it was this weekend in pro wrestling history that one of the most unique world championship matches ever took place between two wrestlers who didn't work for the company whose championship they were wrestling for. You might remember this one. We'll talk about that next.
This is McGuire on Wrestling.
You got to stream the alternate commentary table. Every single Saturday, it's brought to you on the McGuire on Wrestling feed. I'm one half of your host, Demetra Carolis, and I'm here with my partner, Mitch Hondris. Mitch, what is the alternate commentary table?
It's simple. It's the perspective of wrestling from the other side of the railing, the real fans.
That's right. The perspective that you need. You might have a little bit of fun, too. The alternate commentary table. Subscribe free now to the McGuire on Wrestling podcast feed wherever you get your podcast.
Cha-cha!
Welcome back to McGuire on Wrestling.
Well, normally I try and line these up with the day the show posts, but today in wrestling history, we're going to look back a day, and that is April 13th, 2000. Oddly enough, 3 years to the day after the first ECW pay-per-view, the ECW World Championship would be on the line as newly contracted WCW wrestler Mike Awesome, who signed that contract while still under contract with ECW, would lose the world title to newly signed WWE star Taz.
Taz, of all people, Taz is here to stand up for ECW, to stand up to Mike Awesome. Does the WWF even know about this?
Now, this all happened at a show in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the match took place as a legal play from Paul Heyman and ECW, who said the only way they wouldn't sue WCW was if they allowed the match to take place. After the victory, Taz would even show up on SmackDown the next week as ECW champion, but would lose in a non-title match against Triple H, then drop the belt to Tommy Dreamer a few days later back in ECW.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, McGuire on Wrestling.
Well, it's been a couple weeks. I think we're almost in WrestleMania weekend recovery mode now, although there's still a ton of wrestling and UFC 300 and everything else going on. But Dave Meltzer is here. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. It was a big week, you know, between the Chicago show and SmackDown and UFC 300 and Battle of the Belts and everything. There's a lot of wrestling this weekend.
Yeah, that New Japan show as well. Jon Moxley becoming IWGP champion. course, mm-hmm. we'll get to Jack Perry and all the other things going on there. But first thing we have to start with, the thing that everybody's talking about, and it's funny, you know, we run a pretty positive atmosphere on our Team MOW, McGuire on Wrestling Facebook page, and it even kind of seeped into there a bit, where AEW aired the backstage footage from All In. This, of course, came after the Ariel Helwani interview, which we haven't had a chance to talk about either, with the CM Punk. I don't even know how much we need to delve back into that other than the ramifications thereafter of showing this footage. The argument on their side is that, well, it's being used to further a storyline. I don't know if I personally buy that, but I mean, they justified it.
It was the attempt. And what I will say is that, you know, Tony Khan took it, took the reaction to Jack Perry as a result from what happened on his show Wednesday. And, you know, again, in Chicago, as part of his plan, you know, is knowing they were going to Chicago to have this atmosphere of this guy at that level. So he took that as a positive. Obviously, the rating was up. I mean, look, I wasn't a fan of it. I didn't think it. I just felt that it was something that, you know, I just feel that that it's something that it's long ago. They need to move on, you know, and not worry about. I mean, there's stuff you always have to worry about WWE if you're AEW. You have to.
Right.
But that is not, you know, stuff from the past like that. That should be, you know, to me, that should be left in the past. I wasn't a fan of it. I wasn't a fan of using it for the storyline. You know, if the pay-per-view number's real good, you know, it's like I told people, the pay-per-view number's real good and the ratings, forget about this week's ratings, because this week's ratings is a hot shot. If the rating stays up for the next 3-4 weeks and pay-per-view number's good, then it was a success. If not, then it wasn't a success. And it was a risk, you know, I mean, it was a risky thing to try. And, did it succeed or not? I mean, so far, like Tony Khan would say, it's 2 out of 2 positive, but the jury is still out to me.
Well, I can tell you just from, again, the people that follow us and what we do. I mean, the overwhelming feedback, even from people that don't mind it being aired, the question is, what was really the point here? And it did seem like going for the, you know, you're friends with this guy FTR, so that's why we're so mad at you, and that's why we're going to beat you. Seemed like a bit of a reach for that, but I don't want to.
I agree. I thought they tried. I mean, I would say that as far as, you know, they were put in a position to tie it in, and they tried to tie it in. I don't know. You know, now it's a ladder match, so if nothing else, you know, it's probably going to be a hell of a match. I mean, I don't know that that puts heat on that match. And as far as Jack goes, you know, I mean, it's real hard to argue that Jack from Friday wasn't like a bigger star by far than he's ever been in his whole career. But the question is, can he maintain something near that level? And if he can, then it actually did him a lot of good.
Well, again, like, they have big stars they've been signing and they're faltering. So, I mean, if we're trying to elevate Jack Perry, what are we doing with all the big names that have either been signed recently or that are still kind of sitting in the wings here? I've got to stress this too. I'm not poo-pooing AEW, the wrestlers, the talent, the crew, anything like that. It's just, it does seem very, very coincidental that some things have happened over the last couple of weeks since that Ariel Helwani interview. And I think that now fans are again in this position of worrying about what's happening behind the scenes instead of worrying about what's happening on TV.
That's always going to happen. You're always going to have people talking about behind the scenes in today's business. But yeah, I mean, like I mean, I would just tell you, I would 100% not have done it. I just would not have done it. But
yeah,
you know, I'm not in charge, even though people think I am for whatever reason. I am not.
Well, I have
basically the same interaction with WWE and AEW. It's almost, it's close to identical, I would say. Maybe, you know, I have more friends in WWE, but interaction's probably fairly even.
Okay. All right. Well, let's jump off that now. Unless there's anything you can think of that is really productive to talk about coming out of that footage airing, I think we've kind of covered it all already. Really?
No.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it, to be honest with you. I just want to move on.
Look, we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I mean, this Wednesday is interesting. You know, I mean, the rating for Wednesday is going to be something that everyone looks at. You know, I mean, it's more than just a weekly rating. It's sort of like an affirmation or a not affirmation. And then the pay-per-view, which this is supposed to build up, that's a key number too. You know,
well, just to stay on this for one thing, even as I was watching the show and what time the Bucks came on, they were smart. They dragged it on to cover two quarters, right? Like they started in the third quarter and it carried over to the fourth quarter till where they actually aired the footage. So yeah, it's nobody's denying it was a hot shot of the rating here, but
of course not. Of course it was, but I'm not, it's like a 1 week hot shot of the ratings that means nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
But if the ratings improve, then it means something, you know, as a regular thing. And we'll find out. Look, if they're doing a 0.24, then, or 0.23, 0.24, even 0.25 next week, mm-hmm. tells me that it didn't have long-term effect. If they're at a 0.28, 0.29, then they probably got a second week out of it. And we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's funny, but this is a rating that people are going to look at a lot. And again, 3 months from now, it will have zero effect on the ratings 3 months from now. And this is very much a long-term game, especially because it is a contract year. So, I mean, I can see if you remember with NXT, they had a lot more main roster top guys on NXT when they were negotiating the deal with CW since they signed the deal with CW. So I would not be surprised if we see a lot of hot shotting until this new deal is signed, because it's just the nature of the beast right now that they are in a contract, contract renewal period.
Okay. Last thing on this, and then I swear we're going to move on from it. Do you agree or disagree with the statement that AEW used CM Punk to pop a rating?
Of course they did. Even without using his name. Of course. I mean, was it the only reason? Was the building up the pay-per-view, building up Jack Perry also part of the deal? Absolutely. But did they use CM Punk to try to pop a rating? Absolutely. You can't deny that at all. I mean, how could you deny it? Of course it's true.
All right. I'm going to let people form their own opinions there, because we're going to move on. Let's talk about the shakedown from WrestleMania. Of course, we haven't had a chance to talk since the show because we took that weekend off. But I mean, overall feelings from a fan or a viewer standpoint, Dave, how do you feel the 2 days of WrestleMania went overall?
I liked it. I think I liked day one more than most or many. Day two was a great show. Day one was a very good show. I think that day one last year was better than either show this year. But this was a much bigger WrestleMania. This was the most, I don't know if the word is, what's the right word exactly? Anticipated maybe, but whatever. This to me was the biggest WrestleMania in years and years and years, since probably the Attitude Era, or maybe the Trump show, that was a, big one, or Rock and Cena. But I felt this was bigger than Rock and Cena. That's how big I felt that the Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns match, it was gigantic. I mean, in every metric I look at it, it's just like, this was just blow away. And you got to give them credit for that. And they delivered. They gave you exactly what they should have given you. It was like the match, like if I would have before the show said, like, how's the match going to go? It would have gone like exactly the way it did, except I would have, of course, had Austin in the Undertaker spot, which, as of course, later came out, that was actually the plan. But, things happened and Austin didn't do the show and Undertaker did. But it's like I thought that they did. I thought it was an easy match to put together, because you don't need to vary from anything, because there's a certain storyline and certain way to work that match. And they did it exactly. They did it exactly the way they should have, and got a great, great finish. They the Cody Rhodes being pinned the night before was perfect, because now it builds up Cody Rhodes and The Rock, which will be another big match. And then, looking back, got to say that Dwayne Johnson, giant difference maker, even though the big main event was not him, but I think he was a big part of making that main event even bigger than it would have been, and it would have been big anyway either way.
Absolutely. And you know, very few people have said otherwise when it came to his performance there. I'm happy to hear there was no major injuries coming out of Mania from anybody, but especially for him, it seems, because, I mean, that always seems to be the thing with these older guys. They get in there and then, you know, they're out for months. But Dwayne sounds like he's going to be doing fine. And yeah, the Undertaker thing was great. There has been word that it was a money issue with Austin. Can you confirm that, or is that just one of the stories
pretty much. I mean, it's like they didn't come to a financial deal. So, yeah, I guess that makes it a money issue. I don't know that it was all money. I mean, it may have been he didn't want to do it. But the end result was they didn't come to a financial deal with Austin, so they went with Undertaker. Was it all money, or was it something he didn't want to do at the time? That I don't know.
Cody Rhodes, since winning the championship, has been on both brands. Of course, they're teasing the draft coming up in a few weeks, I presume. And the question now is, we have a lot of new champions, some new faces in new places, and others are kind of established names. Where do you see Cody especially, but maybe some other figures that came out on top in Mania landing after this draft?
I think Cody will probably wind up with SmackDown, because you pretty much have to keep Cody and Priest on separate brands. I guess right. They could send Judgment Day to SmackDown and keep Cody on Raw. I mean, it's probably one of those things, you know, the draft thing is something that, you kind of have like a vague idea of the top guys, and then the rest is a lot of it's just come up with like at the end. Right. So, you're going to split the Intercontinental and US, the two women's champions and the two men's world champions and the two tag team champions. Now they have two again. They will end up, when this is all said and done, on different brands, and then who it is and how they get there, we'll find out. It's less than 2 weeks.
Do you think Cody can fill that spot where Roman was and they'll be okay on Raw without him?
Their business is great. Yeah. I mean, Cody was the biggest draw on Raw, but, Punk's coming back and Punk's a big draw.
Right.
So, and Punk's going to be working with Drew. So I presume that's a Raw that'll be on Raw. I don't really worry about their business. Their business is incredibly strong right now. And, whatever they do, they're very much their business is idiot proof. But the other thing is they do not have idiots running it. They have very smart people running it, so their business is going to be fine.
There was speaking of business here. There was a story that just came out. I'm trying to remember her name, but a longtime employee. She actually, what's that?
Are you talking about Sue Aitchison?
Yes.
Yeah,
so
she was like
Sue. Sue Aitchison was just let go from the company. She's kind of the last of the Vince regime. There's now this story that Vince has the rest of his TKO stocks up for sale. Is this Vince giving up, or is this TKO saying, if you're saying we got a clean house, we got a clean house?
All I know is that when I was covering the UFC very, very closely, when TKO bought the company, and it's the exact same thing. I mean, people who were there for a long, long time that were, that old management may have felt was very loyal and would want to keep, were let go. I mean, they let go Matt Hughes. They let go Chuck Liddell, one of the biggest stars they had. Many, many office people who helped build that company were let go. And in UFC, in WWE, there's been some similarities, when the sale came, I'm sure I told everyone, I go, like, there will be people that are let go that were major people historically in building that company. That's just the nature of this, of how TKO does its business.
Are you surprised to see Vince give up the last of his stock and give up basically any stake in what WWE is now or TKO together, anything like that, after everything that's gone down?
I'm not shocked. He's been selling the stock already. The fact he wants to sell all of it. I mean, look, he's been trying to sell everything. So, he doesn't, whatever it is, like, as far as financial, I mean, everything he's doing now is probably for his grandkids and great grandkids anyway. So, whatever it is if it's inheritance reasons or tax reasons or whatever, he got a lot of cash, and he's going to get another. When he sells this stock, he's going to get another number, just a little under $800 million. So, I'm not surprised, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had kept some. But it is, to me, it is a story that he, it's a big story that he literally, when this next sale is done, that he will have no stock in, the company that he essentially built.
It's crazy. They always said you'd see Vince die at the chair before he'd ever give it up. And here we are.
Life gives you some twists and turns. That's for sure. And with Vince, I mean, who would have expected the final act to be that final act? That lawsuit changed. The lawsuit and the NDAs changed everything. Without that, I don't think that they sell to TKO. The only reason they sold to TKO was because they had to avoid tanking the stock price. Vince sold to his buddy, who then ousted him, but he had to oust him. There was no way around it. But the only reason this company was sold in the first place was it was the only way Vince could come back. And without the NDAs coming out, Vince would still be running creative this week, and he'd still be the CEO of the company or chairman of the board. And Stephanie would be the one out who, I guess is still technically out, but certainly wouldn't surprise me to see her back very soon.
Well, she did pop up at Mania there. Okay, let's move on from WWE now and jump over to, I guess we can combine New Japan and AEW a little bit here, especially with Jon Moxley now being the IWGP champion. I saw a post by the Beltmaker, and he was a little surprised that Jon won the title. But here we are, Jon Moxley, IWGP champion, more gold for Mox. And does this show as a strengthening of the relationship again, you think, between New Japan and AEW, or is there?
Absolutely. Well, the deal is right now is, the major conduit is Rocky Romero. And Rocky Romero is a vice president of AEW. He's a vice president of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So that's amazing in and of itself that you have. I don't know that I've ever heard of someone who is a vice president of an international company and one of the biggest domestic companies at the same time. That's something.
Yeah. Well, it's a major, major thing, obviously. And we talked a little bit earlier with the Punk footage about the return of Jack Perry and possibly coming back to AEW. I mean, they're saying his name on the air a lot now. He's
coming back, and coming back with as big a push as his crowd reactions warrant. Whatever that ends up being, that could be a very big push right now, given, if Chicago's an indication, he's in for a big push.
Well, we'll see if it works, I guess, if nothing else. But overall, AEW getting a lot of attention, whether negative or positive, this past week. Again, it's hard not to say that a lot of it was negative based on the airing of the footage. But we do have to remember there's still a ton of guys and girls that are working there, have jobs. And we want that to be successful for them. I mean, we never want to see people out of jobs. One thing that also did happen, though, and some people are going as far as to say, well, this was a reaction because of the Punk interview again, were the layoffs in AEW and Tony Khan seemingly...
That would have nothing to do with the Punk interview.
Hold on, though. Let me just get to the point here, because the thing that people are throwing up as a contrast is that Tony saying that he would rarely, if not ever... not actually go out to release bulk amounts of talents.
I know.
And now he has.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's anything to do with the Punk interview, but it tells you that, that the budget isn't, the budget's always been an issue. I mean, like I said, there have been guys, big stars in WWE, who expected or certainly wanted to negotiate with AEW that were turned down because at the time, the budget didn't warrant it, and he didn't, it's not like he's throwing money around. But he did throw a lot of money around to get Mercedes. He did throw a lot of money around to get, Okada in particular. And a good amount as far as Ospreay, the cuts that he made hardly make a dent in those numbers. But, they are people that he wasn't using. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, he did say he would never do it unless it's disciplinary reasons. And I guess the boys could be disciplinary. Anthony Henry, he ended up changing his mind and bringing back like 2 days later anyway. But there's others. But again, like if you look at the list of the guys that were and, the people who were let go, they were all people that weren't being used. So his roster was too big and still is too big for the amount of television time he has.
Yeah, it just you know, and this is where, again, you'd have to caution anyone. I mean, it was such a feel good time when AEW launched and everybody was so anti WWE. And he said, I'll never do what they're doing. And now, reality sets in, I guess, a few years later. But
yeah,
well, business is business, right? Okay. Well, speaking of business, it was a big business night last night for UFC having their 300 card. I got to see a little bit of highlights from the thing. I haven't had a chance to actually watch start to finish, but I do want to watch the show. I was on the road last night, but
it's a great show. One of the better shows I've ever done.
Yeah. I heard there were some insane knockouts, some great fights overall, but then the big news, Conor McGregor going to be coming back. And this is a fight that people have been waiting for. So for those that aren't familiar with why this is such a big deal, tell us what the return of Conor McGregor means to UFC casual fans and diehards alike.
Well, he's the biggest draw in the company for the last, whatever it's been, 10 years. So, he hasn't fought in a couple of years, and he's going to, since his broken leg. And he's fighting Michael Chandler at 170, not at 185, which was what I guess he had originally asked for. And we'll see how much he's got left. It's a guy who a prime Conor McGregor could beat, but Chandler is not a pushover. He's a tough, tough guy. And they, they built it up on Ultimate Fighter. And it'll be the biggest pay-per-view number of the year for anybody, boxing, MMA, pro wrestling, which doesn't really have a lot of pay-per-view on the AEW, but it will be the biggest of the year by far. So, bigger than last night, which probably did well, bigger than Jones and Stipe, later this year, which will also do well.
Amazing. Well, I'm looking forward to it again. I don't know why that seems to be, maybe it's the pro wrestling fan in me. I like the hype when it comes to the UFC card. So when there's something a little bigger like this, so that usually what draws me in a little more. So
yeah, Connor's a great talker. He's a world-class talker and that's, and a good fighter, certainly in his prime he was. We'll see now. I mean, he's had major injuries. He didn't look great in some of his previous fights. So we'll see where he's at. It's like now this one, he's got to back up the talk. Before he just had to do the talk. Now he's got to back it up.
We'll see what happens. It's a few months away there, but Dave, it's great catching up with you after a couple of weeks here. Again, thanks for coming back after the WrestleMania week, but I know you've been doing a lot of writing, a lot of shows, a lot of coverage. I mean, the Wrestling Observer site alone has just been like my notifications been going off like crazy the last couple of weeks here. So what are some highlights, things people can look out for and read about from you this week?
Yeah. So this is a giant issue because it was the WrestleMania issue. And we went in depth into the thought process. Why, especially with the Ospreay promo on, I went very deep into the Ospreay promo, why it happened, what was not allowed, things like that. The mindset behind the Punk thing, all that, obviously again, WrestleMania coverage. I got a big story on Aki Bono, who was a, giant sumo star and pro wrestling star and kickboxing, not a great kickboxer, but a kickboxing star. He was a cultural icon in Japan and, story on him, story on a pretty well-known 70s Canadian promoter, Al Zink, who passed away, from
out east,
from the Maritimes. And, a lot on, Vince selling and, just, all of the Mania news during the week, with what Paul Levesque said, what different people said on different subjects. There's so much. I mean, it was really as far as, it's one of the biggest issues I've ever done as far as just volume of news. It was an incredible week of news. And, just Super Card of Honor, Stand and Deliver, business notes on all that, the real business of for WrestleMania as much as we have. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
Amazing. Well, Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com. It's going to be an interesting week this week as the fallout from everything continues, but we'll catch up with you again next week to talk all about it. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Coming up next, we talk a little bit about wrestling and a lot more about life with former TNA World Heavyweight Champion Steve Maclin. It's a fun conversation you won't want to miss.
This is McGuire on Wrestling.
You got to stream the alternate commentary table. Every single Saturday, it's brought to you on the McGuire on Wrestling feed. I'm one half of your host, Demetra Carolis, and I'm here with my partner, Mitch Hondris. Mitch, what is the alternate commentary table?
It's simple. It's the perspective of wrestling from the other side of the railing, the real fans.
That's right. The perspective that you need. You might have a little bit of fun, too. The alternate commentary table. Subscribe free now to the McGuire on Wrestling podcast feed wherever you get your podcast.
Cheshire! Welcome back to McGuire on Wrestling.
And welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for downloading this week's episode. Very excited about this interview. Didn't think it was going to be as much fun as it was hanging out with Steve Macklin. Because I don't know about you, but as a wrestling fan, I still like to give a little credence to the gimmick. I know The Undertaker is a guy who owns a lot of real estate named Mark Calloway. And I know that Bret Hart is a lot more laid back than maybe people think he is. I have no idea what to know about Steve Macklin until I met him, and all I've had of Steve Macklin was a brief interview where the internet on his end actually dropped out, so we lost that chat, and then seeing what he and guys like Josh Alexander and PCO have done to each other over the last year, and you're like, oh my God, this guy's got to be terrified. Well, I'm happy to tell you, couldn't be further from the truth. Enjoy this chat I had with former TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Steve Macklin.
Well, this is a chat I've been waiting to do for a long time, since the old show and in this show now. Very, very happy to meet Steve Macklin. Nice to have you on, pal.
Oh, appreciate you having me on, and as crappy as I feel right now after that loss, what are you going to do?
How did it feel to be in Calgary tonight?
Awesome. Even on my entrance, I took it in a little bit more, just because, like I was telling you before the show, when we were chatting, just the 8-year-old me, growing up with Bret Hart, Owen, Davey Boy, that's what I grew up loving. Those were my guys. And then it turned into Stone Cold. And then as I got into the business, I gravitated back towards watching the Dynamites, Davey Boy, Owen, Bret again, and just picking those little things from each and one of them, and then watching from stuff back here and Stampede back in the day, and even watching the A&E documentary with Davey Boy the other day. And it was funny seeing a clip and watching Davey Boy and Dynamite doing some stuff. And I looked at my wife and I was just, holy shit, I'm going to be in that building this weekend. It's kind of surreal. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's just one of those moments like, wow, I'm really lucky for what I get to do for a living.
You've been to some buildings, you've been to some places, yeah. Obviously, but I can relate 100% to what you're saying. Because when we did our first show here, you know, over a year and a half ago, that was my first time walking in. It's after Bret says to me, like, yeah, you're going to be the commentary guy. I was like, bull. Yeah. So,
oh, it's good.
I get that feeling. But once you're here, you got a job to do.
Yeah.
You had to be the bad guy tonight. And I first of all, I think you did a great job there. But secondly, I mean, how did it feel knowing that you're main eventing? You're not just in this building. You're not just working a match. You're main eventing this building tonight, and it's your job to be that guy.
It's, again, it's surreal. Those are the little things, like, you don't think of while you're doing it, and it's those moments as I've gotten older in my 12-year career now where I try to soak in those moments and appreciate what I'm doing and the opportunities that are put in front of me. And that's what this was an opportunity to come here to Calgary, hopefully be back here in June. From what I was told, I'll be back here in June, so hopefully that stays that way, unless something with TNA comes up. But it's just, I'm grateful to take the opportunity and run with it. And granted, the outcome wasn't what I wanted. Master Lock got the better of me, but I didn't tap, didn't get pinned. So
this is true. This is very true.
So I think I'm deserving of a rematch, depending on who wins between Cardona and Adonis.
You did get struck by a 7-year-old though, and made a
big thing
about
yes.
it.
I did. Yes. I wish security was around, but I did not see any security. I was looking for a Mountie, if anything. None of those around.
We can call Jacques Rougeau and get him out here.
But. Yeah. I got struck by a kid tonight, so that was entertaining.
That was a lot of fun, man. And I got to tell you, as just someone who's watching the match here, it was a gas to sit here and call, and you told me that you and Chris had never touched before. You've never had a match together.
That was our first time ever touching in a ring, and it was one of those ones where, oh, wow, well, we need to do this again at some point. Cool. And hopefully I'll be coming out as the winner at that one.
Now, you and I were also talking before this about how, yeah, it's fun to talk about wrestling, but I like to find out more about you just from the guy I see on TV. I mean, honestly, the guy I see on TV scares the hell out of me half the time because,
good thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, that's the job, right? But what I've seen and what I, at least as a fan, understand, because, I mean, I'm never going to say that I understand what you're doing from your perspective because, I mean, it's your perspective, but it seems to me like you've really found a way to to be more yourself and bring more of who you are as a person into what you do in the ring now?
Just confidence. It's gaining confidence and, again, taking an opportunity. And when I get those opportunities of big matches like tonight and I can go out and deliver, it allows mm-hmm. me to excel a little bit and get a little bit more confidence in myself. And that's just kind of where I've been, even coming back from a partial groin tear this past summer. And, like, mm-hmm. it took me a few matches to come back after that and kind of gain my stride. And I feel like I'm back on that pre-injury, like, win that I had where I'm just moving and everything's clicking and everything's feeling good. And everything with TNA coming up, especially with Rebellion, like, all cylinders are rolling, and it's just, yeah, I feel great right now. And then it's fun to kind of peel back the curtain where you get to see a little bit back behind the scenes of me.
Yeah,
and like on Instagram and Twitter, people see kind of like my dogs and stuff, but like for who I am on the persona on television, completely different from who I am in real life. Unless obviously you piss me off in real life, then that's not somewhere you want to be.
I try and actually stay off a lot of wrestling social media, and wrestling Twitter is obviously the worst because yes. it can be just so...
It's a good tool to promote and yeah. engage with the fans and kind of see what people want, but it's also very toxic, so you have to take with what you want from it. And I wish a lot of people realized that Twitter is not a real world.
Yeah. Well, here's why I bring it up, though, because there was an image that came up in my feed, and it was your wife making her AEW debut, and somebody had just happened to snap... Steve Macklin standing by side stage yeah. and the things I see you post about your home life and your life with her. And I'm not going to delve deep into your marriage but I mean, to me, that just seems like something that didn't exist in wrestling back in the day. And now we're seeing more and more wrestling couples, wrestling families really be there for each other. It doesn't matter if you're working in different companies. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, one's at a different level or the other. I mean, we're seeing so much mutual support and appreciation of each other in an industry where normally it's everybody hates everybody. And
yeah.
and so take me back to that moment and just seeing her get to make her debut, especially after everybody's kind of wondering, like, where is she going to go? What's yeah. she going to do?
It was one of those things where that came together last minute for her to debut in Jersey. And we're both from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And just go figure, we both grew up 30 minutes apart, but we met in Florida, which is kind of wild. Both Jersey kids. And then we actually have family, mutual friends that knew of each other. And then when we did get together and once we eventually got married, it was just funny how, like, oh, my God, this is like the match made in heaven kind of thing. But it's just like... It's one of those fate things where it's just like I met my person, it's my soulmate, and I was so proud of her that night just because I know she had so much emotion going into it. And for her to debut at the Prudential Center in Jersey is an even bigger thing. And then my parents and her dad and stepmom were in the front row, and I was up out there behind the curtain. And it's just funny too, people are like, oh, what are you doing there? I was like, I'm just here to support my wife, and that's all I'll ever yeah. do when I'm there. I'm there for her just like she's there to support me. And that's the one thing in our relationship is we just support each other. We want us to just go out there and kill each other, or not kill each other, kill it for each other. Yeah. Sometimes she'll
Freudian kill, slip maybe
yeah, she'll kill me if I do something wrong, but we're very honest and truthful to each other about our own matches. Like, I'm sure she'll pick apart something from watching tonight right. and just like with her on Rampage tonight, I'll have a couple things probably that we're honest. And that's the one thing, is honesty in a relationship is the best thing in the world. And that's where we are with being truth and honest to each other, and being there to support each other is the best thing. And I'm blessed to have her as my wife.
So when you guys aren't talking about wrestling,
that's very, very rare.
What are some of the things that you do to unplug from the business?
We're just trying to get some stuff done around the house and not remodeling, but kind of doing getting our rooms together and paint colors. Like right now, we just redid a little bit of our master bedroom, and uh-huh. we're doing the normal homeowner thing.
Yeah.
But we got our three dogs. I'm finishing up college. She just finished. Now she wants to go for her master's while I'm finishing up. I got 1 year left in college. So we just really try to reset and focus on life outside and just try to set up for the future. And that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, who picked the colors for the room?
Why are you even asking that? I get asked which color, but I already know the answer. So it's one of those things where it's just like, what's the point? But it's the appreciation that she even asked.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice, hey, I gave you your input, even though you know that I'm choosing. Yeah.
Yes.
That's so tremendous. Yeah. Well, you know what, Steve? I can't wait to see you again. We'll chat and sit down a little more longer when you don't have a flight to catch almost immediately. But it's a pleasure to meet you, Steve Macklin, and all the best, man. Can't wait to see what's next
for
you.
Thank you. Thanks for ringing out tonight and everything. So appreciate it. It was a lot of fun that I hear at Dungeon, not Stampede, but even though we're in Stampede. I made that mistake when I was doing a promo once. I was like, oh, we're going to Stampede Wrestling. Man, it's Dungeon Wrestling.
It's all good.
But the 8-year-old me again.
It's all
but
good.
But I had a blast tonight, and thank you.
Pleasure.
Yeah, he might suplex you onto a bed of cinder blocks, but Deanna still gets to choose the color of paint for the rooms. Big thanks to Steve Macklin. We are going to catch up again next time we see each other. But I hope you enjoyed that little snippet of that conversation here. Just, again, a really cool guy. That's the thing with these indie wrestlers, too. Like, we weren't kidding. Him and Chris Masters, who's going to be on the show again, we did a chat literally while Chris is, like, stuffing things into his bag. Like, you have no idea sometimes just how busy these guys and girls are when they try and do what they do for a living out there. So a big ups to him. Just before we go, we're going to talk a little more about the footage and what I feel it's done to wrestling fans. See if you agree with me or not. Next.
This is McGuire on Wrestling. Welcome back to McGuire on Wrestling.
Final segment of the show. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you for supporting. And if you want to pick up a t-shirt or support the show other ways, find out how. McGuireShow.com. We don't ask for money for you to listen to this show. We never will. That's just the way it is. Although, I will say this. If you would like to advertise on this here program, depending on where you're listening regionally, you might be hearing some more ads popping up as of late. And that's going to continue because that's the small price we pay. To give this to you for free, we let other people get their message on, and hopefully the trickle-down effect helps everybody. But if you want to be part of the show and advertise something, reach out to me, McGuireShow@yahoo.com. That's really the basis of every bit of broadcasting, every bit of television, every bit of sports, news, everything. In fact, I'll never forget a conversation I had with a programming boss I had when I worked for one of the big companies here in Canada. And he sat all of us radio people down. And he says, I want to go around the room now, and I want to ask you all, what do you think the purpose of your job is? What is the purpose of what we do as broadcasters or as content providers? And so naturally, you know, thinking a lot more of myself than what it actually was, I was like, well, you know, obviously we want to inform, we want to entertain, you know, we want to convey a message, tell a story. And that truly is some of my motivations for doing this to this day. But after everybody gave their opinion as to what it was, nobody had said what the actual answer was. And the actual answer is advertising. It's marketing. It's to get something worth listening to long enough that you stick around to hear an advertiser's message in between that content. And when you think about it that way, it's mind-boggling. Because almost from a programming standpoint, from these big companies, it almost doesn't matter what you have on the air as long as it generates the numbers. And I think, call me crazy, but I think this might be some of the mentality that some wrestling companies have these days towards putting out content. It's all about, we've heard this over and over again, it's all about the rights fees. It's all about getting that next renewal, that next TV deal, that next content deal. Like, for example, with Netflix and WWE, that's a huge deal because, honestly, that's now a guaranteed revenue stream, not dependent on advertising, but based on subscription that millions upon millions of people already have. So in a way, they're breaking the model, but at the same time, if WrestleMania was any indication, you saw that they've gone all in on the advertising game. When the Steadicam that follows the wrestlers to the ring is now sponsored by Xfinity. That's what UFC's been doing. They've been selling everything. They'll sell you camera guy by camera guy if they can by the sponsorship. And we saw that in WWE. So no matter what you watch, no matter what you love and what you support, remember, it's still business. It's still about generating money. It's still about revenue. And we as fans are the ones that vote with our dollars. I've said this since I started doing wrestling shows. If you like something, great. If you don't like something, great. How do you make that known? You vote with your dollars. It's the only way you really have a say in anything. Look, WWE knew they had to make a change, and they made a wholesale one. And they've been making changes ever since the new takeover, right? AEW, people are saying something has to change to get more tickets, more butts in seats. And maybe it does, but for 1 week, over two quarters, like you heard Dave and I talk about, they played a desperation tactic, and you can't say anything else. That's not an attack. It was a play to boost the ratings because, again, what does it all come back to? Advertising. They can say, hey, we were up 20-whatever percent, whatever Tony tweeted out, those percentages, the Dynamite was up this much percent this week. Yeah, but here's the thing. The advertisers aren't going to look at last week's numbers. They're going to look at the overall trend. How many people, because anomalies in ratings happen all the time, whether you set them up like Tony did with this all-in footage or not. This was a case of a false positive. Now, the reaction from fans is what I would be more concerned about in the long run. I saw somebody on our Facebook page say that because they aired it and because it was such a reach to get that rating, they're not going to buy the pay-per-view this time around. That is you voting with your dollars. Now, I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't have Tony Khan as a friend. I don't have Paul Levesque as a friend. Whatever they do, however they do their business, ultimately doesn't affect me personally. And I think that sometimes we as fans need to remember that. You can have your favorites. You can cheer for your favorites. But there needs to be a line when you look at yourself arguing and in some cases going on personal attacks with people you don't know on the internet, in events, in person, making fun of someone for wearing one wrestling t-shirt over another at a show you've gone to. Who the hell are you? You're in the same crowd and you're there for the same reason. Yes, to entertain yourself, but also to make these companies money. So why on earth does it make any sense for you to sacrifice your own personal good judgment to either defend or attack billionaires or multimillionaires who would not do the same for you? Now, I'm not saying don't be a fan. I'm not saying don't support these people. I'm not saying if, hey, they do something that makes you feel good about being a wrestling fan, you cheer them as loud and as long as you can. And if you know what, you like supporting that wrestler, you buy their t-shirts, you buy their photos, you put their poster on your wall. Whatever you want to do, do it. That's the fun part of being a fan. But after this AEW all-in footage aired this week, it took some wind out of my sails. And as you may have heard at the beginning of the show, I was on the road a lot. I had like 16 hours of driving to do this weekend. I had my last thing to pick up in Lloydminster was the Dream Machine, my camper, the Wrestle Wagon, as some of you might remember it as. That was the last thing. For once in 3 years now, all my belongings are in the same city. It sounds stupid, I know, because that's been my life the last 3 years. But honestly, it just feels good to have that semblance of my life in order. So when I come to do this show, I was thinking, oh God, how am I going to talk about this? And how am I going to do it in a way that sends a clear, concise message, but hopefully doesn't tick anybody off to the point that you think I'm being a jerk to you? Because I'm not. I'm not. What I'm trying to do is convey the message of what this show was intended to be. Look, I've been around wrestling fans, I've been around sports fans, I've been around a lot of people who think they have a lot of money and therefore are somehow more of a fan than the rest of us. Guys, I remember my mom giving me $25 to get a ticket to go see my first WWF house show live ever. And I got that front row ticket. Yeah, score, right? It was back in the day when you could line up at Ticketmaster and get those seats. I got that seat. But the thing is that we didn't have anything else. I made a sign out of old WWF magazines and construction paper and markers. And I cut out a perfectly good picture of Ric Flair. And I put the no-go sign. This is how much of a dork I am because I still do this to this day. But I cut out the no-go sign, you know, the cross from the no-ghost, the circle thing. And I put that over this picture of Ric Flair. And I said, Brett's going Flair busting. Because I was, what, 13. And that was my creative energy at the time. And I had a blast, an absolute blast. And I can guarantee you that I felt more of a fan then than I ever have, no matter what WrestleManias I've gone to, no matter who I've got to interview. And we literally didn't have nothing. We didn't have nothing. I was in and out of foster care at the time because mom's health was up and down. She gave me that money to get the ticket and let me go to the Ticketmaster, Parkland Mall in Red Deer, to buy those tickets. And maybe it's fitting that I'm having this conversation with you now, that tomorrow is what would be her birthday. But that's why I love pro wrestling. That's why I love doing this show, and that's why I've always loved doing this show. And I've dealt with the same people you have that throw money around and think they're a big deal. And you know what? You're just not. And that goes from fans to wrestling promotion owners. Let's not forget why we support these things. Yes, for the business and bottom line, it's exactly what I said it is. It's revenue. It's money. But think about it. What makes you take what little money you may have and want to dedicate it to giving it to someone else to entertain you to that level? That's the love of pro wrestling. That's buying in on the characters, on the story, on the matches. It's not about all this crap and pettiness. This is billionaires fighting with billionaires. And it's stupid. And as a wrestling fan, I'm going to say it right now. I don't care if WWE does it. I don't care if AEW does it. I don't care if TNA does it. I don't care if Dungeon Wrestling, where I work, does it. If we go back to this petty crap, I'm out. I'm just out. Or I'll find someone who's not doing it and I'll support them. Because this is supposed to be an escape. This is supposed to be fun. Wrestling and its success is nostalgia and memories. And if we start taking that away, then what the hell are we cheering for? I didn't write a word of this down, by the way. This is all from the heart. So I hope it resonates somewhat. Again, I had a lot of time to think about this, and just as it was falling out of my mouth here, I'm like, you know what? This feels right. So I'm going to go. I'm going to say thank you, as always, for listening to the show. Thank you for supporting. If you'd like to support the show in other ways, reach out to me, McGuireShow@yahoo.com. And if you haven't listened to it yet, listen to this past week's alternate commentary table. It went up earlier today on Sunday, and Mitch and Dimitri give a great rundown of their reactions to WrestleMania. I really enjoyed the show. And I'm not saying that just because it's on our feed. I'm saying if you're looking for a fun chat about it, it's a great show. They're getting really, really good at this. And hopefully you think we're still good at it too. All right. Enjoy your week, my friend. I got to go home, shower, and get ready to start my morning show here in Alberta. But until next time, thank you for listening and letting me do what I do. Till next time, play safe, drive safe. I'll be seeing you.